We're back. The Ron and Brian Show. 25-year reunion. I mean, yes, 40 years is big for CDB, 55 big for WSUA, but nothing bigger than the 25th Ron and Brian reunion.
It was one of the high points that I had this weekend was seeing how many of the current crop of DJs, how highly regarded our show was, how many people remembered us, how many people approached me over this weekend saying, what slot are you guys going to get? Because I want to make sure that I'm tuned in on the radio listening.
Of course, the current DJs only heard the show on tape because they weren't alive at the time.
And then, you know, hearing we were on at 4 a.m., they're like, well, we're sorry. That's way too early for us to actually be up and listen. But we'll catch you on the 7-day archive. We'll catch you on the flip.
I do have a genuine question. Are we able to download a file that we can save on our computer, or is it for streaming purposes?
No, you download it.
This isn't, the technology still be, it befuddles me.
All right. Brian.
Yes.
Speed round for speed Scott rounds, Kingsley before we kick him out
I
of
wish
here.
We had a jingle for a nice intro.
Speed round.
All right,
speed
I've got round. Some topics. Some of these are just... Yes, no. Some of these are just are just off the top of your head answer. Favorite fast food. We're going to start off with a slow, easy one.
A softball, yeah.
Favorite fast food.
McDonald's Big Mac.
All righty. Gun control.
Opposed.
Favorite president.
Ronald Reagan.
Jews.
I like.
Really? Based on what, if I may ask?
Your bubbling personality.
Okay, so you're basically saying I'm the only Jew that you know.
I know.
Or that
I know a lot more.
Are there a lot of Jews up in the Capital District area?
There is a surprisingly a good percentage of the population.
Interesting. Favorite drug?
Alcohol.
Okay. What is your drink of choice?
Rum and Coke.
Do you have a specific rum?
Bacardi.
Do you have a specific Coke?
Like, is it RC? Does it have to be Coke? Is it Pepsi? Is it
Diet Coke?
To mix, it's Coca-Cola. Just to drink regularly, it's Pepsi.
Interesting.
All right. Biggest regret in life?
Besides this, right now.
biggest regret is spending too much time here and not graduating.
You didn't graduate?
I did not.
Wow, I did not know that.
We learned something.
I just learned something. This is a completely an interesting fact. Yankees or Red Sox?
Yankees.
Divorce.
Not for me.
Interesting. So you would say that if you're in a relationship that's not going well, you would continue fighting for its survival?
Put it this way. There's not too many women in the world that would put up with me.
Okay.
So I found one. She's a keeper.
Interesting. Abortion.
Personally opposed. Keep it legal.
I'm going to have to go a little deeper on that one. Personally opposed, but keep it legal. How do you justify the two-sided coin there?
Well, my personal opinion is based on faith. The keep it legal is because it just wouldn't be practical for the government to enforce that.
Yet they enforce other laws that are not practical.
A lot of 90% of the laws that are on the books are not enforced.
Interesting. Hold on. I've got a couple more. Kardashian, favorite.
Caitlyn Jenner.
What was your whole take on the whole Caitlyn Jenner transformation?
I actually didn't care.
Personally, I think she's very courageous, and I think she's a beautiful woman.
All right.
Premarital sex.
Had lots of it.
I did not expect that answer.
I think we're going to need the receipts on that, but that's...
When you say had lots of it, we're saying... Are we talking multiple lovers? We're talking same lover, just like didn't want to wait?
Just to clarify, premarital sex, there had to be someone else there with you.
That's true, yes.
So, still same answer?
Same answer.
All right.
Interesting. So, did you answer my question? Multiple lovers? Dead air? This is a speed round, Scott. It you got to just jump in with
still
an answer.
It's 5:11 in the morning.
Yes.
And I'm 25 years older.
And we, yes.
So your answer would be yes and yes.
All right. What other questions do you have? Your turn, Ron.
My turn? I didn't realize I was going to be part of the speed round. Favorite Ron and Brian moment? Since we're being so self-indulgent.
I like the way Scott is thinking about all of his answers. The whole purpose of
my favorite Ron and Brian moment is when I would mispronounce words during a newscast.
Program.
Yep. Program director.
Yep. And then, you know, instead of the word jurors, I think I may have said Jews during a newscast.
I believe jurors is actually jurors, and it's a it's a two-syllable word.
Shocking to hear he didn't graduate.
I'm shocked by that. I thought that you would have. What happened? Did you come up short? Were you? Did you give up on it? Was it something you were not interested in anymore? Because I don't really see you as a as someone that, that gives up on something. I don't see you if you have a goal.
I wouldn't call Scott. I wouldn't call Scott Kingsley a quitter. There are many.
No, not at all.
There are many horrible names I would call you, but quitter is not one of those names.
Well, I didn't quit. They didn't invite me back for another semester.
So it was a academic GPA issue.
Yeah, between working 40 hours a week, going to school full time, and spending the other third up here spinning records and reading newscasts, you know, I burned myself out. And, you know, things happen in life.
Interesting. I almost didn't graduate either. One of my stories that I like to let people know is that I finished school here after the summer semester. I moved back home with my parents, as most people do after they graduate. And I was thinking I was a graduate. And I was taking some time off to recharge the batteries, if you would. And I got a letter in the mail one day from Albany. It was a thin envelope, so I knew it wasn't my diploma. And I was very eager opening it, expecting something like a start to say, congratulations, dot, dot, dot. I opened the envelope, and it was addressed to Dear Applicant, semicolon. And I didn't say Dear Graduate. It said Dear Applicant. And it went on to tell me that I had failed to complete all of the requirements for a college degree. And what had happened was there was a writing intensive class that was required. I took the class. I got a D in the class. I was quite pleased with that D because it was about two letters above what I deserved. And I patted myself on the back and said, well, that's another 3 credits scored that I can put behind me. And apparently you needed a C or higher to get credit for a writing intensive class. I did not know this.
Interesting.
So I immediately explained this to my parents. They were not very pleased with me. I took a bus up to Albany the next day and figured I would try to talk to the teacher to see if I could change his mind. And I figured, what's the biggest, you know, I'm at a D. He could have just gone up to a C, but this guy knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't fail me, which he should have done. I should have failed. I literally was sitting there. I went to visit the department head of the history department, and I was sitting in his waiting area with what I felt were incoming freshmen. So there was a physical size difference, a maturity difference. These were kids eager to look forward to the next phase of their life. I was looking back on exiting the past phase of my life, and he walked out of his office, looked around, saw me, said, "You." Pointed, said, you are, I looked at him, I said, Brian Perlis. And he said to me, you didn't graduate. Just soul crushing. Now suddenly I've got 5 freshmen just staring at me as if I am just an example of like the failure they need to avoid. And we worked out a program where made up for the class that was I didn't do well on, and I was able to get my diploma. And I will tell you something, it has not changed my life in the least bit. Because I would have put down on every resume I've ever had to submit that I was a college degree holder, and nobody has ever questioned whether nobody's ever asked to see it, and nobody's ever asked to see what my GPA was.
There you go. Another lightning round question then. Student loan debt relief. For or against?
For.
All right.
Shocking. Why? Why is it that you're willing to, you're willing for that type of wealth redistribution?
Because colleges and universities charge way too much for tuition. Because we have this system where students rely on loans and banks, the real cost of what, the cash cost of what a college education costs compared to what the universities rape their students from is a big difference. And so, you know what? I'm not for free tuition. I am for realistic tuition.
What would you say is a fair tuition? I think you're entering a very subjective zone right there.
That's a hard question to answer without seeing the books. But you know, when you take a look at, obviously there's disparities between the public disparities. Yes, between the
kids stay in school
between the public and private colleges. But the cost of the private colleges definitely.
So you are in essence, you are for capitalism for business, but not capitalism for universities.
I think the universities are a captive. Universities are a captive audience, and there's few of them compared to general business. So. That's my stance.
I'm going to say one of the high points I've already experienced within the past hour and 10 minutes or so is the realization that Scott Kingsley on short sleep, way more entertaining than Scott Kingsley after a good night's sleep
fully
coming
rested.
In for a
yeah.
7 o'clock show.
No, I'm with you. And I think the other thing to take away here is, you know, we as Americans need to have conversations.
Absolutely.
Because we have found common ground with someone who on the surface, you know, when I looked at Scott's Facebook page, I'm like, oh, he's a Republican. I don't want to have to deal with that. But we have found common ground in many areas.
We do not talk to each other as a society. That is definitely...
No, I thought definitely you were talking literally, we don't talk to each other. Like, this conversation is taking place, and then we're all going to go our separate ways for another 5 years.
Five? I'm thinking 25. We'll see.
We'll see what 2033 brings.
Exactly.
I don't expect to be alive at that
I'll
point.
I'll be in an iron lung by that point. Hopefully, they'll be a lot more compact. That'll be able to be moved up into the studio still.
How long do you want to live? What do you think is a good life?
It's, you know, it's tough to say. You know, I think it's, you know, this is very, very cliche. I think it's not the number of years in your life. It's the amount of life in your years. So if I can get to be 80 and 85 or 90, thank you. Thank you. I got a little round of applause from DJ and a half.
He was clapping for you for being successfully able to lift your leg and not kick the table.
If I'm able to, like, I look at my father-in-law who is 80, got all of his mental facilities, can get around, you know, has, you know, knock on wood, good health. You know, if I can make it to 80 like that, I'm fine. You know, if not, you know, I look at how Dennis Leary always used to say, you know, I don't worry about the end of my life because those are the worst
years.
They're the adult diaper wheelchair ridden years.
Yes.
So, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, let me go at 65. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've had a good run so far.
One of the things that worries me is that we have spent such an effort as a from the medical world to extend life, but have not really improved the quality of that life at that time.
Exactly.
And I do not. And what
another round of applause from DJ and a half for that.
What worries me the most is that I am going to at some point be kept alive based on prescription drugs, based on, you know, organ transplants or organ removals. I'm not sure. I plan on visiting China at some point in my life and may wake up without a kidney. And I think the quality of life is going to be pretty lousy. That's what concerns me the most.
I mean, I look at it, you know, I'm a pet owner. We won't get into how many pets. But, you know, at some point as a pet owner, you have to make a decision at the end of your pet's life between the quality of life and having that pet longer. And I feel I should, you know, I feel the same way about myself. If my quality of life isn't going to be good, you know, why do you want to stick around just to be in a hospital bed or a nursing home or anything like that?
My father has said to me that he draws the line when somebody else has to clean up after him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Scott, euthanasia, pro or against? You can't think. This is radio. You can't just.
I'm a thinker.
Dead air. Ron,
I'm gonna say against, but qualified.
Stem cell research, for or against?
For.
All right. Doctor assisted suicide?
Against.
What was the the dreamers? Is that the issue that we were discussing
that was
earlier?
One of them, yes.
The children brought in illegally who have been here their entire lives. Free, do we push citizenship for them?
No, but we let them stay in the country.
Bringing back the McRib? For or against?
For.
All right.
The wall?
For.
A wall with Canada?
Maybe.
Oh,
taking Americans' property through eminent domain to build the wall.
Against.
ISIS.
Against.
Al-Qaeda.
Against.
Taliban.
Against.
Mary Kay.
Four.
Jews.
Four.
Still four. You haven't turned them.
I'm expecting at any moment for the curtain to drop and for us to realize exactly what's going on within that noggin of his.
A combined shampoo and conditioner or separate shampoo and conditioner?
Oh, definitely the combined.
All right.
The combined shampoo, conditioner, body wash, or combined shampoo, conditioner, separate body wash?
I'm not a body wash guy. I still use bar soap.
Do you use a washcloth?
No.
Interesting.
Interesting. Only to us. I'm sure no one else is interested at this point.
Do you clean out the shower trap?
Yes.
Interesting. Favorite NASCAR driver?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Favorite?
Didn't go Dale Earnhardt. I'm very surprised by that. People seem to have, as time has passed, I think people have forgotten number three and really what he was bringing to the table.
I mean, I think Scott prefers drivers that stay alive.
Well, he was doing very well, and then he hit a wall professionally and actually literally.
You know, as the president that prefers people who don't get captured, I prefer NASCAR drivers who don't get killed.
I teed that up for him. That was set up.
Yes.
Favorite white supremacist group?
None.
Thought we had him there. You know, one of my favorite parts of this show is when I can make liquid almost come through Brian's nose, and I came very close there.
Yes, and that was not the first time you've done that.
I know. I really don't have anything additional for Scott.
I think
we can let him go.
Let's hit another topic.
All right.
What do we got?
I mean, we have so many topics that we were going to discuss here. We were also supposed to be performing a wedding ceremony with a lovely couple. We both got ordained.
Do you want to give a little backstory there, or should I just start my rant?
What backstory about?
About how we yesterday were talking, or was it early? Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Midnight.
Let's be tight. It is morning already. There was a young couple. When I say young, I mean under the age of 40. Who have been together and they plan on getting married, and they had a great idea of getting married on air during the reunion weekend, and it was something that touched my heart, as I'm a fan of marriages personally. I have had two, already planning the third. I just need to find the right lady.
So, ladies, he's available.
So you and I immediately sat there and said, "How can we make this happen? We wanted to be facilitators, so we went online and became ordained ministers." For a very reasonable fee, I would like to point out. One of my issues right now is that the young generation do not have commitment. They do not understand seeing something through from start to finish. You and I, maybe, I would say we're the older generation, at least.
Getting there.
Well.
Here, definitely.
not earlier last night at dinner where I felt quite young. However, I would just say that, you know, there was a challenge. Couple wants to get married. How do we make it happen? Let's do what we have to do. And one of the issues that I'm having with the younger generation is that they will start something, they'll put some effort into it, and then they'll give up and move on to something else. Which is why they've yet to figure out one form of social media that they're just going to stick with. Started with MySpace, then there was Facebook, then Instagram, then Candy Crush. Like, where does it end? It's just a constant movement forward. Scott, what are your thoughts?
I think you make a good point, which probably is the reason why the senior class at this university totals 15.
What is that? What do you? Senior class totals 15.
You start something, they can't finish.
Oh, was that you weren't being literal? You were just making up a number.
I was. Oh, I was being sarcastic. Apparently, not very good at it.
No, not at all.
I mean, some things don't change.
No. The fact that he said jurors and disparaging, those are the high points so far. Ryan, what's your next topic?
You know, just a question to Scott. If you feel that perhaps you could complete sentences and use proper words, would you have been on like CNN or MSNBC or Fox? Here's a bigger question. Knowing that you were so into news, what if the only network that had come calling to you was CNN? Could you have worked for the mainstream liberal media?
Well, I work for you too, so I'm sure CNN would be fine.
You worked for the band U2? Bono,
U2.
The Edge?
U2.
Interesting. But we didn't pay very well.
So you were going to talk about chip technology.
Yes. All righty. So it's one of the fun things about life is watching life move forward and experiencing it, sometimes embracing it, sometimes rejecting it. I will say, having come back to Albany for the first time in a very long time, it was in some ways a step forward. Got to see a lot of people I haven't seen in years. And in some ways it was a step back. And one of the examples where I feel we have stepped back as a society is the realization that credit card chip technology has not made it to the Capital District. I have had to swipe my credit card more in the past 48 hours than I have in probably the past month. Scott, how do you defend yourself?
I don't.
This is where Scott fails at radio. You can't just answer "I don't." You've got to fill up time.
Well,
here, Scott, you work in the retail world. Am I not correct?
And my employer is fully integrated with chip technology.
Have they reached the point of self checkout?
Yes.
How do you feel about that as somebody who is an employee of a corporation?
It's what the marketplace demands. So I would rather keep the customer than have them self-check out than lose that customer to a competitor because they don't want to have to deal with a human being at the line. So,
Scott, do you believe that the consumer in the supermarket industry wants to deal with self-checkout?
Yes.
Do you believe you actually do?
I do, because I've seen it when the self-checkouts go down and how angry people are that they're not operating.
Do you not believe that it is an example where the consumer has been forced into a different mode, have become comfortable with it, accepted it, and are simply upset that what they are used to is not being not being offered?
They've embraced it because they don't want to have to deal with a human being.
I could
not a good part of society, but it's the way it is.
Ron, what are your thoughts on self-checkout?
I at times will prefer it because it gets me where I want to go quicker. But the technology isn't always where it needs to be. If I move something, heaven forbid, and the little scale there says, don't do that.
Place the item in a bag.
Right. But again, kind of to the point of it, whether it's a poor workforce or an overworked workforce, a lot of times it's quicker for me to just do it myself than to try and wait in a line and get checked out.
And this is where I guess my cynicism comes out. This is where my conspiratorial worldview comes out. I see it as an example of corporations looking to eliminate jobs, give them over to the computers, and selling it, pitching it as convenience to the consumer. I don't believe the consumer has any that the consumer experience in any way is being taken into account. I believe this is just another example of retail corporations looking to eliminate jobs. You brought it up earlier, Scott, how as an employer you have to pay it's a heavy burden. It is an added cost, and I think it's an example where let's have a machine do what a human used to do.
I think you see that in every industry.
Examples.
Robots that paint automobiles and auto plants. Machines do a lot of different things, and sometimes machines do things better than humans.
Are you not threatened that working for a company where they have already started to automate human jobs, that your job is not also one day going to be on that list?
It might be, but it's my responsibility to produce a service or a skill that is going to be marketable and that somebody wants.
What is your backup plan?
My backup plan is to come back and be your permanent newsman.
I mean, that's about as good as any.
That's a good comeback. You know I don't offer benefits. There's no retirement plan.
The benefits is just sitting here listening to your repartee.
Brian, your smile.
Repartee?
Is the best. Repartee, really?
Repartee, come on. You can't just let these slide. You've got to point them out each and every time.
You're just not, you know what, over 25 years, you have just lost touch with the Albany accent.
Have I? Is that what happened?
I don't know that it's quite an accent. I don't know that mispronouncing words necessarily qualifies as an accent, but we'll go with that. We'll give
all
you
right,
that.
Not bad. Not bad. But I do feel like I've stepped back in time by coming up here this weekend. I have much love for Albany, but I also don't.
You don't necessarily have love for all of the expansion and the new campus center here, the new student center. I definitely have sensed a little hostility.
I think it's more jealousy. I one of the things that has happened to me is I've matured, gotten older, started to realize certain traits of mine, certain patterns that seem to be happening, is I don't wish well upon others if I'm not experiencing some of it for myself.
I understand.
So having walked through this campus, seen the level of amenities that are being offered to the current students of today, it did not bring any sense of warmth or happiness for them. I believe I cursed out several of the buildings.
You did?
that are here.
You spoke ill of some of the students enjoying some of the amenities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There were several curse words said. I'm not proud of the way I behave. I just accept that it's who I am.
Scott, thoughts on changes in the university since your time here?
I like it. Progress is good.
Riveting, as always.
My mind was just blown.
And that's why we come back and do the show. It's because of insight. Personally, I'm with Brian a little bit. We didn't have any money spent on the university during our years here.
No, not at all.
Relatively little spent on this radio station.
Literally.
And now these kids today, they get all the perks.
It's all that Division I sports money coming in.
Is it though?
I would say Albany's.
Although men's lacrosse number one in the country right now.
Is that true?
That is true.
100% true.
I had no idea. Yeah, I didn't even know I did not even know we had a men's lacrosse
team.
That's
right.
Down with the men's lacrosse team. I hope they suffer a couple losses, drop down in some notches.
Again, because you don't want people to succeed unless you do.
The term that has been created that was not around 25 years ago was hater. I am a hater.
You drink the hater-aid?
Absolutely.
As the kids would say?
As soon as I wake up in the morning, I pour myself a cup of the Haterade and make a pot of coffee.
I will say I do appreciate the new hotels nearby, because that makes it a lot easier to make it back and forth to campus, at least. I remember the Red Carpet Inn was the only hotel back in the day.
I believe I stayed there. But does there need to be hotels literally back to back to back all the way down Washington Avenue?
I mean, there's a white paper from Penn State that I can share with you regarding hotels in university markets. It's incredibly boring.
Is it? It's not confidential?
It is not confidential, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And what does it say?
I mean,
if you may summarize.
If I can summarize, is that hotels in university markets tend to be insulated against recessions and downfalls in the market versus other markets in, that hotels are in.
The kids are always here.
Okay. Works for me.
I mean, that's not entertaining. But
no, not at all. No,
it's
no.
A little nugget of information that I just gave to you.
See, yes. I was not as surprised as of the growth as you were, being a local boy. I've seen the growth incrementally. So, again, coming here and seeing all the buildings, that, well, it was no shock to me because I knew it was here.
Scott, let me ask you a question. Speaking on that, any prostate issues?
No.
Interesting.
You're a lucky man.
You're a very lucky man. You're a very, very lucky man.
Prostate health is important, kids.
And I don't think that the children, when I say children, I mean people...
In their 20s.
I would even say people in their 30s.
Yeah, we're at that point.
But when you hit 40, things start to change. You need to spend a little bit longer at the urinals.
Lazy prostate is a thing.
It's a terrible thing. And you have not experienced this yet in your life.
No.
Interesting.
Well, we're happy for you.
Have you...
I have a very happy prostate.
Do you get your annual checkup?
Have not yet.
I've heard it's doctors weekly. I've heard he gets it weekly.
I have an annual physical. The doctor has not recommended a prostate exam.
Really? Well, he's looked and decided that was not something he needed to do.
So here's a question. Would you be willing right now to undergo a prostate exam here on the Ron and Brian 25th anniversary show?
Are you ordained to do that?
I mean, I think, I'm sure there's a YouTube video about it.
I will say this. I'm a notary public in the state of New York, and I believe... You can tell me if I'm wrong. You may have to look up notary law, but I believe I am allowed to give prostate exams as a notary.
I feel that's right. But again, there has to be a YouTube video because there's a YouTube video for everything.
And one of the problems with prostate exams is that it's all about how you feel.
Literally.
Literally.
So, yes, no?
We are going to pass on the prostate exam.
I mean, with the state of healthcare, a free prostate exam is no small thing, my friend.
I have a good insurance package.
All right.
Now, is there really such a thing as a free prostate exam, or isn't it really just something that has been subsidized by the federal government taking our tax dollars and shipping them off to doctors?
Are you talking about Big Prostate?
I'm talking about Big Prostate.
That'd be a great band name.
It probably is not a good name for a band.
No?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it's better than Lazy Prostate.
No, Lazy Prostate is good.
Okay.
The implication of lazy versus big.
Agree to disagree.
Like, I'll go Big Pharma. I like that one.
Right.
The Big Ten.
You know, some of these bands.
The Big Boom.
Scott, if you do not put your mouth in front of the microphone, I will hit you with it.
Some of these bands that are participation bands that, like, throw things into the crowd. Can you imagine what Big Prostate would be like?
Name one participation band. I'm not making the connection.
I hate when you ask questions.
Scott told me earlier he has seen Lamb of God in concert.
He mentioned that.
And then he mentioned that he saw Metallica. And then he mentioned that he went to that concert in exchange for being able to go see Elton John and Billy Joel.
I have no response to that.
I didn't have a response when he mentioned it to me either.
So another lightning round question. Pharmaceutical pricing. In the United States, for or against?
They should have a price, yes.
Are you against the exorbitant pricing, or you feel that it's a capital market?
I feel that we pay high prices in the United States because we subsidize cheap pharmaceuticals around the world.
Generics or name brand?
Generics.
Are there any prescriptions that you take on a regular basis?
Yes.
Lipitor?
We are not going to comment on
lithium. Do you take lithium?
No comment.
Lexapro?
No comment.
Klonopin?
No comment.
Zantac?
No comment.
Xanax.
No comment.
Allergy medication.
No comment.
No comment on allergy medication?
I know my this is, I know my HIPAA rights, darn it.
And this is my problem with Republicans. As just, you know, if I can just make it a whole, is that it's about their personal privacy, not about the other's privacy. They want to get involved in everyone's business. They want to say that, you know, let's keep the guns out there, but don't ask me about what allergy medication I take.
I think that's overly broad of a group of people.
And just for the listener, I'm using singular, not plural. For the listener, I'd like to point out that Scott just wrote Claritin D on a piece of paper. So for those that are wondering what type of prescription medication Scott takes, it's Claritin D. Because Scott's really about the D. All about the D.
Just teed it up, hit it out of the park, my friend.
Thank you very much. What do you got, Ron?
I mean, we could hit one of the... a couple more. We've got some of the hot button topics. We could go with immigration and the Dreamers. We could go with gun control. That was something we were going to discuss a little bit.
Gun control.
All right.
Scott, your thoughts. And I, why are we even asking? You're against gun control. We know that.
Well, he did state that during the lightning round.
Which is why. How do you justify assault guns?
Because they're out there. Currently,
so is heroin.
So is crystal meth.
That's true. There are people who want to legalize them too. Not me, but there are people
that want to legalize crystal meth
and heroin. Yes,
those are called heroin addicts and crystal meth addicts.
They would have a stakeholder in that argument.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. I guess it's not a speed round question because he'll have to go a little bit more in depth.
I would say the pace that we're going at right now, there's no speed whatsoever. No, not at all.
Help me understand the justification for President Trump reversing the Obama era law that was preventing the mentally ill from obtaining firearms. Get in front of that microphone. I told you.
When that regulation was put in place, there were many mental health professionals and experts that were not happy with that law or that regulation because they're afraid that the more restrictions that you put on people that may even be accused of having a mental disorder, the less that those people are going to seek help. We don't want to, the people who have mental illness, and it's an illness, they need to be treated. They need not feel ashamed of it and live their life in the closet, so to speak.
But I guess the question...
I spent quite a bit of time in the closet back when I was attending college, and I will say that having come out of it now, I am absolutely against all forms of gun control.
You're on the side of Scott.
No, not at all. I'm just jumping around trying to keep it entertaining.
So, but if the law was in place, it was already in place, what was the justification in repealing it?
Because of the concerns that mental health professionals had.
Do you honestly believe that that's
why President Trump did it? Do you honestly believe what you just said?
Yes.
You don't believe that it is because Trump has received so much money from the NRA and that the NRA has so much influence in our political system that they are going to attack any form of gun control.
See, that's where you're mistaking is that while the NRA did come out and was an early supporter of the president, the money's not a factor. He didn't need any money to run that race.
You mean to tell me $30 million was not a factor whatsoever?
He spent less than any major presidential candidate in recent memory on his campaign.
Well, because the media gave him so much free press, he didn't need to.
Because he's a genius. He is a marketing genius. He's a boob, but he's a marketing genius.
I would avoid the word boob.
Boob.
It just boggles my mind that there are weapons out there that are so easily obtainable that are capable of such a level of destruction that we can justify that people who are mentally ill, suffering from diseases that would impair judgment, that we will make it easier for them to be able to get their hands on these weapons. These are weapons that are literally designed to murder people at a very high rate in a short amount of time, not to injure, but to literally to kill widespread. And that somehow, that somebody is going to be able to justify, let's make it easier for people who cannot, who are not able to determine right from wrong, reality versus the opposite of reality. I don't really know the word right now. It's a little early in the morning. But let's make it easier for those people to get those weapons.
Who gets to make the decision whether somebody's mentally ill or not?
Well, I think a mental health professional gets to make that decision, or a court of law.
Maybe a person in their 30, you know, their 30s or their 40s that think they might have a problem but have a gun collection, if they thought the government was going to come in and raid their house, why would they seek help?
You just described the entire state of Idaho, Kansas, Montana. These are mentally ill people with large gun collections.
I mean, I think what it comes down to, number one, I get frustrated is that regardless of what happens as a society, we can't even have a conversation about it.
Isn't it true about everything now?
That's true.
We're not able to have a conversation anymore. It's simply, I want to talk as loud as possible so that you suddenly, instead of making your argument, you listen to me and agree with me. And the problem is that the people on the other end of the table are doing the exact same thing.
And I hear your point, Scott, about how we don't want to, you know, we don't want people not to seek help and everything else. But I guess to me what it comes down to is how many kids have to die before we decide to err on the side of caution versus what we do now.
Well, when you're dealing with constitutional rights, it's a slippery slope.
The constitutional rights is argument I've never accepted, because we've already accepted that the idea of a constitutional amendment.
Well, that's the thing. We have 27 amendments to the Constitution, one of which negates another amendment.
Which one is that?
Prohibition.
I didn't even realize that. Very interesting. Of course, I was a history major, which shows you the level of education that I received at SUNY Albany.
You know, everybody wants the Constitution to exist in a vacuum, but it was a document that was written, you know,
the beauty of
hundreds of years ago.
The beauty of the Constitution is that it can be amended. And if you want to change it through the amendment process. If somebody introduces an amendment to the Second Amendment, let's have that debate in Congress. I would be against it, but
there is no debate. Congress is so in the deep pockets of the NRA.
And you can make any argument based on, you know, based on the Bill of Rights, you know, based on the Declaration of Independence, based on the Constitution. You know, I mean, you have the freedom for the pursuit of happiness. So if I'm happy taking crystal meth, then how can you dare make crystal meth illegal?
Well, Scott, defend it. Defend crystal meth.
I mean, I think Scott's in the pocket of big crystal meth.
I think he is. Think about it. People who are on crystal meth don't want to deal with a cashier behind the register. They want to sit there and scan their own items, smoke, you know, a little bit more crystal meth, and then they want to scan some more items through, and then walk out the store.
So, Scott.
Well, they're not scanning their own items. They're just walking out the door, stealing it, but...
So universal background checks, for or against?
Four.
Waiting period for guns?
Four.
Mail order brides?
Don't care.
Interesting.
So should a person be able to own a rocket launcher?
A decommissioned one, yes.
No, one that can fire.
So where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line between something that is... ready for the populace, or should be restricted towards military?
Rocket launcher, I think, crosses the line.
I would say that a gun that can launch 30 bullets in a minute is not something that should be in the hands of Joe America.
Yeah, as long as the criminals have that capability, I think people should have that availability to defend themselves.
Wait, so a criminal could get their hands on a rocket launcher right now. And you could not.
So your argument is, why put a law against it because people are going to do it anyway.
We'll just say the AR-15s because that's what the debate's about.
Okay? It's one of them.
Right. I'd like to make it about the AK-47.
They're on the streets. You could pass a law banning them tomorrow. They're not going anywhere. They're on the streets. So why are we making it harder for law-abiding citizens to defend themselves?
But again, we're...
That gun is not meant to defend yourself. That is an assault weapon. It's not something... It's not... You're not laying in bed, closing the light, saying, hey, just in case somebody's going to break into my house, I'm going to... I want to protect myself. That is not, it's not for hunting purposes. No one's going to sit there and say, I want to go out there and maybe bag a buck. Is that the term that the hunters use?
I think that's still a term. Yeah.
When I was in college, I bagged a couple bucks, I'd like to point out. But those are purely for assault purposes to kill as much as possible in a short period of time. So you cannot make that. You just literally cannot say that an AR-15, an AK-47, is for defense purposes.
I just did,
and you believe it.
I do.
You genuinely believe. Okay, who are you defending that you need to shoot 30 bullets in 1 minute?
The intruders.
You can do that with a handgun.
You can. But your handgun is going to be useless compared to an intruder that has a machine gun or an AR-15.
So you're saying your average, your level of I need to protect myself is not satisfied by a sawed-off shotgun, finger on the pump,
which is illegal.
So let me ask you this: if these guns, if guns in general, handguns, everything else, if they make you so secure. If they're to be used for defense, why does your insurance go up having a gun in the house versus not having a gun in the house? And I'm going to tell you
because of the risk.
And it's because actuarials have run the numbers. And if you have a gun in your house, you are more likely to shoot yourself or a member of your family than someone that is trying to attack your house.
Well, that's true. That's true. If you know, the gun's in my house, yeah.
No, it's across the board. Across the board.
When I came to the campus earlier today, I decided I needed to protect myself. I bought a cup of coffee.
Should teachers be armed?
Maybe.
Or is that the most asinine idea that may have been presented in the last couple of weeks?
Depending on what qualifications the teacher has. If it's a teacher that... You know, spent 10 years in the Marines and has the proper training and can hit their mark, I'm okay with it. Just your ordinary teacher that has no training and doesn't know how to shoot, I'd be against it.
So teachers aren't provided with the funding to actually adequately run their classes, but we should arm some of them if necessary.
Oh, it would be their own weapon. They'd have to be licensed.
Oh, so it's now we're not even providing them with enough paper, pens, materials for them to teach a class properly.
Saying teachers,
now they have to provide their own guns.
Are we going to provide them with ammo at least?
I'm not saying teachers mandatory should have guns. They don't want to carry. They don't carry. It should be a personal choice. There should be some level of training.
I think the more guns you put out there, the worse. There's a reason why we have so many gun deaths, so many mass shootings in this country by comparison to others. There's so many more guns in this country.
Like most of those gun deaths, okay, are not by mass shootings.
Correct.
They're by individual shootings, which happen in urban centers, which have the toughest
gun
regulations in the country.
You gotta stop slamming the table. I every time you slam the table, I hear it. So it's like two things you gotta focus on. One, talking into the mic. Two, don't slam the table. it's just bad. Why point out that where's the argument that most gun incidents take place in urban centers?
Because cities like New York and Chicago.
Because
and
I did
Los
an urban radio show back in the day, and I'm going to say that I don't appreciate the assumption you just made.
New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, they're urban areas. That's a fact.
No, Chicago's just, that's a war zone. You can't even talk about that.
Locally, they've got the toughest gun control laws on the books, but yet they have the most gun crimes. They don't work.
So your argument is because what we have in place doesn't work, we shouldn't try and make it better. We should just throw up our hands and
we
say...
We should try to make it better, but just putting laws in the books to make us feel good isn't going to solve the issue.
I felt that way about the tax reform this last year.
This is one thing I've said...
To
myself, as I often do.
Yes.
You know, I look at 9/11 and how we literally... We grounded every single plane... around the world.
Except the ones that was packed with Saudi Arabians who were fleeing the country.
But, you know, we had the ability to do that, and they stayed on the ground for, what, 5-6 days?
It was around there.
Because we wanted to get our act together and make sure something like that wasn't going to happen. So you mean to tell me when we have a situation where, you know, kids die in a school in Florida, you know, a coach dies throwing his body in front of his students... We can't take a step back for a day, for 3 days, for a week, and say, whoa, America will live not being able to go to Walmart tomorrow and buy a rifle. We need to take a step back. We need to take a breath, and we need to find out how we keep Americans from killing Americans. We can't seem to do that.
Can I ask you a question? Slight tangent, but it's something that you said just set a trigger off in my mind.
Triggered.
What? Hashtag. Why is it that when a child dies, it suddenly is so much more valuable than when an adult dies? You just made the argument of how many children have to die as a result of gun violence before we do something. Why is it that there was a mass shooting in Las Vegas last year? Mm-hmm. I believe the number was 54 people were killed by one man who decided to arm himself very well in the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Fine casino, by the way. Lost a lot of money in that place.
I'm with you.
And he literally decided there is a music festival across the street playing the worst music known to mankind. He was just trying to get a good night's sleep. And literally knocked some holes in his windows, shot several. I believe he shot about 200 people.
Yeah, it was over 200.
I believe he killed 54 people.
Sounds about
and
right.
And nothing happened. We didn't do anything. We didn't, as a country, we didn't say, let's take a moment to figure out how this will never happen again. Why is it now that someone decides to go into a high school, I believe it was, mm-hmm. and kill some children, and they're and suddenly now it's like, oh, wait a second, let's draw the line now. What happened in Newtown?
Well, and if I can clarify, I mean, I think...
Those were literally elementary school kids that were taken out by another assault rifle, and that also didn't happen.
And to clarify, I don't think one gun death is any worse than the next. I think all of them are horrible.
I agree with you.
I think for me, where it is with the kids is I think kids, you know, have to rely on adults to protect them.
Right.
You know, they're unable to do these things themselves for the most part. You know, you until you're 18, you don't have a ton of rights in this country. You can't vote. You can't impact the people that are protecting you.
So why don't we give gun training to children?
So
why don't we start arming the children? You know, maybe like every, you know, this is just a proposal I'm putting out. On your 6th birthday, you're going to get a handgun. On your 12th birthday, you get a shotgun. And then maybe when you're 18, you know, now that you are a mature age, we'll give you the assault rifle.
I believe what you have just described is Alabama.
Okay, so instead of arming teachers, we arm the children.
It's radical, but I like it.
I'm throwing it out there.
I am not for mandatory arming kids. That's kind of absurd. But I am for mandatory gun safety training. So when kids 8, 9, 10 years old are playing and they come across the gun, they know what to do. They're not picking it up. They're not playing with it. They're not shooting somebody.
Well, using that same logic, should we not also train the same children about what to do if they see a crack pipe on the floor?
Yeah.
So that if they see a crack pipe on the floor, they know not to put a little piece of crack inside of it. Take a Bic lighter, you know, put their lips on the other end of the glass pipe and inhale the crack.
I mean, I think we can all agree that we're okay with training kids against crack pipes.
Oh, that was against? I'm sorry. I misunderstood where you guys were going. Sorry, I take that back.
So it's getting close to the top of the hour. I was thinking we take a little, maybe a little music break.
Let's do it.
Maybe a little bathroom break.
What do we have lined up?
Oh, this is an oldie, but it's a goodie. It's a classic from our friends at King Missile. Brian?
Before you do that, I do have to sign off. I have to work in a couple hours. I hope you enjoy the rest of your show.
Scott, it was a pleasure reconnecting with
Scott,
you.
Scott, will you at least listen in the car for as long as you can so we can say we have one listener?
I will listen in the car.
All right, outstanding.